What's up? I'm Wade. I'm an alcoholic. You guys are hot. So, 15-minute speaker. I'm only 23, so this might be like 9 minutes. I don't know. Just joking. I was born in Jacksonville, and when I was 3, my mom decided to take off with me down to Tampa. And I was all around Tampa, and my pops came down here and went to Broward, went to a couple of different schools. Anyway, skipped the high school, started getting high. I guess really I was on the wrestling team, and these two brothers that were on the wrestling team that got me on the team were graffiti artists, and we would always skip practice, and we'd go out and spray paint and smoke pot. And whatever else came our way. And I did that for a while until I got kicked out of school for spray painting. And then I went up to Wesley Chapel High School. It's a little more country, a little less city. And I brought all my drug connections up there and started spray painting again. got in trouble for writing on the school again, and then this journalism teacher paid me actually to spray paint in his classroom, and that was cool. And then I started hanging out with this chick, and getting her high, and she was getting me drunk, and it was a bad scene. And my mom's boyfriend was beating me up, and so I thought that was a good reason to get high and drunk. And finally I moved out, about 15 and a half. I moved to my dad's, and it was like anything goes. He had an extra car I could drive with no license, and all my friends from Hillsborough, you know, were partying with me. It was like I had the party spot for 9th and 10th graders. And so that was cool for a while. I learned how to do my own laundry. Ate a lot of ramen noodles. The neighbor across the street was selling coke, and she was like, she was on like the Stimfast diet. She was smoking meth to try and lose weight, and so I tried some meth at 15, and she told me, hey, anybody you get to buy a half gram, I'll give you $5, and I was like, cool, and I'll give you $10 for a gram and $20 for a ball, and so I started doing that up at this local bar that my dad hung out at. And I did that for a while, and finally my mom had found a military academy for me to go to, and I went, and that was probably the best decision I ever made, and that was a little bit of a turnaround. And from there I got out of there with about 6 months clean and sober, and I continued to stay clean and sober for the 2 or 3 months before I joined the military. And I went to boot camp, turned 18, and I was sober for like 9 months, 10 months, just about a year. I got married in A school, and which is a bad decision. And started drinking again. And got in with some guys. It was, it was a lot of guys on the ship that didn't have anybody out there. You know, it was just us. And so we hung out together, and a lot of them drank. And it was like, I wasn't 21. And they got me booze, so I was like, I'll drink. And I started drinking again and partying. It was like, a lot of people get popular in high school or go to college, and they're real popular in college. My first year and a half, 2 years in the Navy was like, I felt popular and cool, and had a buttload of friends, and there was a party every night, and it was cool. You know, I had a cool car and plenty of money, and so I partied for a good solid year, and then I came back from, I went on deployment, and got in so much trouble for underage drinking in the Navy, out in different ports, coming in way too wasted to walk, and got in all kinds of trouble for that. So they were already looking at me like they wanted me to go into the alcohol program. I had just turned 18, you know, or maybe I was just about to turn 19, and came back from deployment. She had been cheating on me and blew some money of mine and took a secret trip home, and then I had a pretty dark year. So 19 was a pretty bad year, and I just kind of drank retarded. It wasn't to party and have fun. It was just to be drunk. And then a good friend of ours, like, he was kind of like the center of, we always went over to his, we loved partying with him. We always partied at his house, and he killed himself, and it was kind of, everything kind of fell apart. So then it was like, you know, drinking all the time, not managing my money, and there was no real group of friends. It was just, you know, whoever you could drink with, that's who I drank with. And I met some civilians, and like, I had some civilian friends that I had met along the way, and like, I would, slowly I had started, like, you know, if I had a long weekend, I would smoke some pot or maybe do some coke or whatever, and just drink a lot of water. I was in real good shape then. I was running a lot, and so, you know, slowly I started using drugs again. By the time I went on my second deployment, I was full on using drugs whenever I wanted. I remember one time I came in for a muster, and we all stand in line. They have a random drug test, and they call my name, and you go and clean for an hour. It's a happy hour, and I had a drug test afterwards, and I had just gotten high that night and the 2 or 3 months before that, and I went for happy hour and drank water continuously, and I guess, you know, God let me beat that test, or maybe they didn't test my jar. And then shortly after that, they put me in alcohol rehab, or in alcohol treatment, DACO, I think it was. I'm not sure. And I had brought back steroids and shit on my second deployment, and I was using those. I went home early, actually, for like a month early on my second deployment, and for alcohol treatment. And I was using roids and doing all kinds of drugs and drinking and shit, and partying with my civilian friends, because all my buddies were out to sea still. And four guys that I knew, and three of them were close friends of mine, that were also back for various other reasons, died in a car accident drunk driving. And I was like, oh, I better start wearing my seatbelt. So I kept coming in late for the alcohol treatment, because I was out partying with civilians. And when they came in to search my room, what they thought was a beer on my desk was a detox drink. So then the dogs came in and all of that. And, like, I don't know if you've ever had anybody search anything, like the cops search anything of yours. They flipped everything, found the steroids and shit. And it was like 2 weeks later, I was out of the military. And things were cool for a while. I had a job at the stadium, still had a nice car and everything, and got in with these people that were working there. Some of them were leads. One of them was a manager and started smoking meth. Did that for like 6 months, 8 months, and lost all contact with anybody that I knew other than them. And had no friends. And then, like, there was a dispute, and I got kicked out of that house. And I was homeless for about 10 days, like a week and a half, about almost 2 weeks. And a good friend of mine took me in and nursed me back to health, and I was good again for you know, a couple of months. And she went on deployment, and and I did all right. I made enough money to support my cigarettes and alcohol and drugs, and got in with some guys that had started dealing drugs. And I had dealt a little bit in between that, when I was in between jobs at this park with one of the guys. I brought him up to the park and showed him what's up, and then I think 6 months later he was a full blown dealer, and so I was dealing with them, and we all three of us lived in a studio apartment, and you can imagine the smell in there, right? Now we kept it pretty clean. And hit another dark spot in my life, as I started using heroin, and that was terrible. It was just a mess for a long time. Finally, about a year ago now, I came back to Florida and went into the Salvation Army for rehab. And I was clean for about 5 months, and went back out for about 8 months. Or about 5 or 6 months, and I'm back, and next Wednesday is my 30 days. So thanks, guys.